As I came across our story again for today of Zacchaeus and his climbing of the tree to see Jesus, I began to recall all of those times in my life when I needed a better view. It got me thinking about all the ways we talk about sight in our culture. It called in my mind the time in third grade when I realized that I could no longer see the board, that I could no longer tell what all was going on the playground at recess. I was going to need glasses. Sight, in this case, was something I didn't quite know I was missing, and without outside intervention would not have known just how much I couldn't see. Those of you with glasses and contacts know that feeling when a new prescription comes along, right? I thought about those times when I needed to change my physical vantage point like Zacchaeus did, like that time that many of us shared last fall when we couldn't get our eyes around the 800,000 of our closest friends to see the World Series trophy going by. We might know there's something worth seeing, but many times in our lives, there is something in the way, requiring us to shift our vantage point. I thought about those times in my own life when I've become so caught up, so focused on a problem that I lose perspective, whether it's a simple day-to-day question or one of life's deepest concerns. There have been many times when I've said to a friend or a family member, I'm so frustrated, I can't figure this one out. And they'd simply respond with something like, well, why don't you just fill in the blank? And it just seems so simple. I can become so caught up in what's going on that I lose perspective, become overwhelmed by the circumstances, can't see past the hand in front of my face. We need our community, those who love us, those with whom we share relationships, to help lead us through these moments of our lives. Sight, or lack thereof, is disorienting, maddening, frustrating, and worse. To regain our sight, to be blind but now see, is certainly to experience the grace of God. All of this came about for me this week as in the story of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, Jesus also, as he's making his way through Jericho. The story ultimately hinges on two moments of sight. Jesus seeing Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus needing to see Jesus and leaves lives changed because of this. As the story goes, Jesus is passing through Jericho, seemingly not staying for a while, as we hear that he is just passing through it. But a crowd begins to form. Sort of picture a celebrity trying to move through a big city. Something is going on in the midst of that excitement. And Zacchaeus, the rich man who was a chief tax collector, was one of those in the crowd, and he decided that he needed to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't because his vision was blocked. Literally because he was short, so he climbed a tree to see who was there and what was going on. His vision was blocked, and some writers suggest the reference to his stature was not about his physical size, but his lack of moral fiber, if you will. That is, we are told he is short because of just how much he has taken advantage of people as the chief tax collector, and not because he has grown to be not as tall as some. Either way, he still must separate himself from the crowd to see who Jesus is, to see what's going on. And when Jesus sees him up in that tree, he calls to him. Zacchaeus comes down, and Jesus invites himself over to stay. Can you imagine? Immediately on hearing this, Zacchaeus repents. I will pay back all of my debts. I will pay anybody I defrauded four times. And this will bring Zacchaeus salvation. And then we get something of Jesus' mission statement: to seek out and to save the lost. The Son of Man came to earth to seek out and to save the lost. In this story, notice that nothing happens until Zacchaeus strives for, works, to get to see Jesus, to find him at all costs, risking vulnerability by climbing a tree, leaving the comfort of the crowd, making himself stand out already more than he did. He needs to see who Jesus really is, because Jesus is fully divine. He knows that in his call and mission to seek and save out the lost, that he needs to come to Zacchaeus, to meet Zacchaeus, to see him, to notice him, and to call his name. struck me in thinking of sight and vision and reading about these two moments shared between Zacchaeus and Jesus, that there are many ways in our own lives where our vision isn't clear. Perhaps like needing glasses or contacts, we aren't sure how much we're missing. We need someone or something else to tell us that even though we think we see it all, it could be that much sharper. Perhaps there's something in our way. We really want to know who or what is coming down the road. We really want to know what is coming next, where God is calling us to be, but there's something in the way. One example of such things would be the loud and angry rhetoric that our world seems to speak to each other nowadays. I'm sure that you all have many other examples in your own lives, too. There's plenty that can cause us to not see, that we can seek to move around or through or above to get a clearer view of God. Perhaps we're so bogged down in our own experiences of life that we forget we're unable to see what all is going on, the ways and the places and the people in which God is moving. So we need others, and we need our community and our relationships to reconnect us, to draw us out of ourselves. That is why we have communities like this one. That is why we say that we cannot do this whole Christian endeavor alone. We are the body of Christ. We are called to give of our talent and our time and our treasure, because in the community of St. Thomas, we have both seen Christ and been seen by Christ. We have encountered the loving and hopeful presence of God and had our lives changed because of it. I wonder what ultimately caused Zacchaeus to climb the tree that day. Was it the crowd seemed so stirred up that he just simply had to see what was going on? Was he tired of not being able to see? Was it just simple curiosity, or was it perhaps some deep need to see Jesus? Perhaps there was some guilt within him, knowing that in taking advantage of so many as the tax collector, that he wasn't actually living as he wanted to be. He wasn't living according to his values. All we know is that he was trying to see Jesus. And on those days and in the times where we feel our vision is blinded, isn't that what we are just trying to do too? We are just trying to see Jesus. Not just these days, to be sure, but in all days and in all times, that is the call and invitation Christ has for us, to see Christ in all people and in all places, to see Christ in each moment of joy and of trial. This is, of course, more difficult than we would like to admit sometimes. What can we do to clear up our vision to see God more clearly in our lives? I would invite you to take some time this week to consider that question. Because if we are able to do so, if we seek God in Christ in our own lives, we will come to find that God has been seeking us all along already. That God is there to meet us, to call out to us, to love us, and to save us. It's possible that Zacchaeus wanted to be seen, or even thought that he would be, given that he intentionally exposed himself by climbing the tree. But even still, the tree was relatively safe. It was known territory. But then Jesus calls out to him. Not only was the tree known territory, but if Jesus were to call out to him, well, then he would have to go speak to Jesus. And he might have to face up to the fact that he had been chief among those who were allied with Rome to give money. He would collect a little extra on the side. This is a reality he would have to face up to, and Jesus might demand a lot of him. And in that seeing process, in this event, in the mutual noticing of Jesus and Zacchaeus, lives were changed. To be willing to do the work of considering what clouds our sight requires some vulnerability, some risk on our part in big and small ways. One reason that this is because it isn't the way our world operates. It isn't the normal, understood, yet unstated expectation, cultural norm, to return love when somebody hates, to be patient in the midst of chaos, to be loving when all else seems fearful. You know, another reason it's risky is that God might find us. God in Christ might point us out in that tree up there and ask us to come down, to meet him, to tell us that he is coming over. That is to say, if we risk meeting Christ in one another, we are likely not only to deepen our relationships with each other, but also with God. And in doing so, we might be asked to change. We probably won't be asked to give all of the money that we've defrauded back out to people. It probably not have been our lives. But in some ways, we will be asked to change, to be transformed more fully into what God calls us to be and has made us to be. So take some time this week to consider, to pray about, to wonder about what blinds you and us from seeing Christ come near to us. What prevents us from moving towards Christ as he calls us? Might it be that Christ is coming near in an unexpected person or place? Might it be that we just simply are unable to see or perhaps refuse to see? Might it be that we are able to help others see how Christ is moving towards them? Each day and each week and each moment of our lives is an invitation to see Christ in each other and in our world. So my prayer for you this week is that you consider what might be clouding your vision from seeing this truth, how you might work to clear that off, and how your life and all of our lives may reveal in our word and action the invitation that Christ has for all of us to come and to follow him.